All right, hello everybody. I'm Alex Lipka, and I'm part of the Switchgrass team at Cornell, and there were three of us, me, my colleagues Fei Lu and Denise Kosich, who are in the audience, who are talking about our work with Switchgrass. And today I'm going to talk in particular about the phenotypes that we are looking at and we're going to use and we're going to conduct genome-wide association studies and genomic selection on these phenotypes. So, brief overview of Switchgrass. Switchgrass is a perennial crop, and we are assessing its use for biofuels. And basically, genome-wide association studies, GWAS and genomic selection, have the potential to reduce the standard breeding cycles of switchgrass from 5 to 6 years to approximately 1 to 2 years. And we're developing a pipeline to conduct GWAS and genomic selection using the genotyping by sequencing GBS SNPs that Fei has obtained. Now, a brief non-technical introduction to genomic selection is that basically you can think of it as using the entire genome of a species to predict the phenotypic values of individuals. So, for example, one can obtain SNPs from throughout the entire genome of a species, put it into a statistical model, fit it with some training data, and then use the predicted values as predicted phenotypic values. And then this was derived from pedigree-based approaches, e.g. the Henderson mixed model. Now we have linkage panels and association panels of switchgrass data. And this diagram over here is an ideal state of our linkage panels. We have two parents and they're crossed and we look at the F1s. Now the linkage panel has long ranges of linkage disequilibrium present, depicted by these long colors. And therefore, we have a lot of power to detect quantitative trait loci, QTL, associated with a trait. Now, our switchgrass linkage panels, we got two of them. One of them has two subpanels, full SIP and half SIP, and then another linkage panel has 135 individuals. We also have an association panel. This is a sample of diverse germplasm. And the association panel has short, small blocks of linkage disequilibrium, which is the product of many generations of recombinations from some ancestor. And because we have short range LD present, we need more markers, and we have the potential to pinpoint genes associated with a trait. And this is what I illustrate with this graph over here, where the x-axis is the genomic position, and then the y-axis is a negative log base 10 p-value. This red SNP over here has a p-value, what is that, around 10 to the minus 8. And so that's a strong significant association, and it happens to be next to a gene that I know is significantly associated with this phenotype in this example. And in switchgrass, we have 540 individuals in our association panel. And here's an aerial photograph of our linkage and association panels in Ithaca, New York. And one thing to note that's strikingly apparent is that there's a lot more phenotypic diversity in the association panel as opposed to the linkage panels. Here are the phenotypes we are assessing. And then here are some other phenotypes that we our colleagues are looking at as well. And here is Nick Kasmar working in the field, and he's holding up two stems of switchgrass. And we can see two of these phenotypes in particular, plant height, which goes up to the top node, and then total plant height, which goes up to the top of the panicles. Now, a brief overview of the design of our field experiment. In 2007, we began by growing our association panel and our linkage panels from seed. The next winter, we got clones and we put them into, we got four replicate clones. The next June, we planted them in four reps, two in Arlington, Wisconsin, two in Ithaca, New York. And then there was a crop failure in Arlington, Wisconsin. Most of our plants, unfortunately, died. And so we were left with our two reps in Ithaca, New York. And from the years 2009 to 2011, we collected our phenotypic and genotypic data. Now, I fitted random effects models to our phenotypic data, where the response variable of each model was a phenotype, and the explanatory variables were random effects, the individuals, the G, year, field, and block, the E, and corresponding interaction terms, G by E. An AR1 correlation structure was used to account for range and row positions in the field. And then backwards elimination was conducted to find the most optimal, most parsimonious model. And blups of the individuals are going to be used for GWAS and genomic selection. Now here's, I forgot to go over this pie chart over here. This is just a rough approximation of the distribution of the size of the variance components for one of our phenotypes, standability and association panel. Genetic variation accounts for approximately 95% of the total phenotypic variation, approximately. Okay, so here are the heritabilities. In this table, our rows are some phenotypes, and then our columns are the various linkage and association panels. These were calculated from the variance components of the blup models, and these are Brodson's heritabilities on a line mean basis. And take-home message of this table is that the traits in the association panel are more heritable. Now, Feilu has obtained about 570,000, a little more, of SNPs obtained using GBS at low cost. And one important thing that he has demonstrated with these GBS SNPs is that switchgrass behaves like a diploid. And also, he created a cladogram with for linkage family 1, and we see a clear distinction between the full SIB and the half SIB, the two subpanels of linkage panel 1. That's a really good thing from the GBS SNPs. Now, there are some steps that we need to do in the near future that are totally feasible before we can conduct GWAS and genomic selection. First thing we need to take account is we need to tweak the GBS pipeline ever so slightly because many SNPs are not genotyped in most individuals. Ideally, I would like to have at least 50% of the individuals genotyped for our SNPs that we use. And we're almost there. And then, since switchgrass does not have a, since the genome has not been annotated, we're going to use linkage disequilibrium to impute SNPs. And one important consideration in the linkage panel is that we want to use only the SNPs. Is that a timer?
No, that's
good. Okay. Okay. I thought my time was up. We want to have enough SNPs with minor allele frequencies around 0.25 in at least half the individuals. And why is this important for the linkage panel? It's because of this. We want to be able to tag one parental chromosome in the linkage panels. So that's why 0.25 is important. Now, just to show the potential of GWAS and switchgrass, I'm going to show some previous work that I've done in maize. Now, this particular result I'm going to show, the phenotype of interest is alpha tocopherol, which exhibits vitamin E activity and thus is important for human health. And the x-axis is the position on maize chromosome 5, The y-axis is a negative log base 10 p-value. And from our Q plus K mix model, we got this significant SNP over here. And this is right next to the VTE4 gene, which is a tocopherol biosynthetic pathway gene. So here we use GWAS to find a gene successfully. And more examples of this work I've done in maize for tocopherols and carotenoids can be found at poster 639, which is outside right now. And I can conduct GWAS and genomic selection in an R package that I co-developed with Shiwu Shang called GAPIT. For more information on that, you can ask me about that as well. So now back to switchgrass. In summary, we analyzed switchgrass linkage and association panels, 3 years of phenotypic data. We accounted for multiple years and field effects through a random effects model. Many of the traits we are looking at have reasonable heritability, and we're going to use these blups and this work so far as a basis for moving forward and conducting GWAS and genomic selection in GBS SNPs. I'd like to thank all of these people and acknowledge support by DOE, UCA, and NSF. And I'll be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you.